We start building relationships over the years with different people. And it seems like every year it makes it closer. Even if they're strangers when you first come in, it seems like that bond gets built. It's interesting how that works. Okay. Before I start with the computer, I want us to turn to Job. And it's kind of interesting because the book of Job is full, let me say this, full of a lot of connection and deep feelings towards our Creator God. And a lot of those deep feelings came because of the trials that he was in. And, you know, as we grow and develop in trials and in life, we learn more and more things. I guess I should probably say this. I got attacked on Facebook, as I understand, about the sermon that I gave. God's Got This. Yeah, I got attacked on Facebook about God's Got This in that sermon that I gave.
I have no idea what you said, man. I got my hearing aid turned up all the way.
Okay. I got attacked on Facebook and on a sermon that I gave that God's Got This. And when I look at it from that point of view, I don't want to say too much, but over the years when I've been attacked unjustly, within a matter of days or less than that, one was killed. I didn't have any more trouble with him the next day. Another one fell down an elevator shaft and was crippled. And so when people do that, I guess what I'm saying is I kind of come to the point where I need to pray for that individual. Because you see, when God stands up for his people, he don't mess around. He just doesn't mess around. And so when you're in dangerous territory, when you pick on God's people, I want you to understand that too. When they pick on you unjustly, there's a repercussion. Sometimes it's pretty final. And like I said, I didn't have any more trouble with either one of those guys. And I found out that it's it's safer for them if I intervene on their behalf. So I would like to do that at this time. Our great God in heaven, we come before you, we place the individual in your hands. We understand that there has been a line that's crossed, it shouldn't be, but we also understand that you are all powerful. But we don't really wish harm to the individual, but we do wish that they would be guided and directed and corrected. We wish that they would have an opportunity to even grow closer to you and understand your truth even more, even if it takes them through some trial fires. So we thank you now and place that individual in your hands in the name and authority of our soon coming King, Jesus the Christ. Yahshua, amen. I wanted to read in the book of Job, chapter 42. Book of Job, chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou hast cause to do everything and has no thought that can be withholden from thee. See, that's what I'm talking about. Even if they're just having bad thoughts against you, they're in dangerous territory or against God. And in reality, that's what was going on against God's word. And that's dangerous territory. And when we look at it from God's point of view, you know, he's merciful, no question about it. But he runs out of patience, too. All we got to do is look at the flood, right? And the tribulation in the end time that's prophesied to come. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. See, that's the problem. They don't understand. They don't understand the Word of God is precious. The Word of God is something that to be desired to make one wise. And if you go against that Word of God, you got a problem. You not only lose your understanding, you lose your connection and your relationship that you could have, the intimacy. Here I beseech thee, verse 4, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee. You know, I quoted that verse in that other sermon, and I realize that there's something going on that is deeper than just words. It's telling us that we have to go through life's trials to actually see Him for who He really is, what He's really doing. And when we look at the world today, I don't know, some of you probably weren't here when Mark was giving announcements, but Israel got attacked. I think there's some 100 people dead. And there was about 2,200 bombs that they put against them.
3,000 now.
3,000 now. So, you know, Satan is busy. He's not just attacking individuals, but he's attacking nations. And he doesn't like his holy days. He doesn't like them at all. And, you know, when you look at it from that point of view, again, be careful if you come against God. We know eventually that Israel is going to be, or Jerusalem is going to be destroyed in the end time. The prophecies tell us that. But there's times when it wasn't, the seven-day war, right? We look at that too. There's times in history. It's a matter, you know, it's all God's time. It's not our time, it's His time. So when we look at, you know, the current events, we look at anger that the satanic forces have. Mark was talking about they were killing women and children and everything else and hauling around their dead bodies in the back of pickup and celebrating. You see, that's, I said, that's against God's commandments, isn't it? And we start looking at that, we realize that there's a lot more to the story than just life. Let's see here if I can key this up. That's what my message is about today. You'll see it here in a moment if I get it brought up. Better wake the mouse up. Hope I don't have to wake you up. But I can do that if I need to. With the power of God. Let's see here. Come on, mouse. Cooperate. Let's see here. Come on. Modern technology. If a man die, shall he live again? That's the title of this sermon. We'll see if I get any negative comments on that one. But you know, you look at the principle. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That's Job talking. Think about this. This is somebody way before Mount Sinai. Somebody that knew God's plan. Somebody that understood what God's message was, what he was going to do. Where he was going to take mankind. Where he was going to take him. We start looking at again, till my change comes. There's the Strong's number and the Hebrew words behind it all. Change, course, and a change of the garments, replacement, a change of arraignment, relief from death. Wow. A lot going on, isn't there? Changing in the course of life. Wow. That's something we don't readily think about. Changes in the course of our life. And that's what I'm talking about. Praying for the individual. The life has to change. If it don't, there's going to be repercussions, big ones. And we as individuals have this opportunity because he's opened our minds, as we talked about earlier. You know, the hearing of the ear. He's given us a chance to understand and hear. Because we couldn't understand unless he opened up our ears and got rid of all that noise. And that's what we're talking about. Can a man live again? 19:25, Job. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Look at that. That's knowledge that he had, that we have. Way before Mount Sinai. It's interesting, isn't it? I know I was toying with the idea of giving a genealogy sermon today, but I decided not to. And I prayed about it because when I started looking at the idea of what genealogy really is, the genealogy of the Bible tells us the genealogy of our Savior and how that he had to literally have a family tree of righteousness. And when I look at it from this point of view, the life, my Redeemer lives. He knew it. He was on the other side of the sacrifice. But he knew that the Redeemer lived. Let that soak in. You know, and I did my research. That's why I did my research on the genealogy, because they were saying that there was no way they understood salvation before the Messiah came along, and he had to reveal it on the day of Pentecost. But he knew it. He said, I know. What did he know? That his Redeemer lives. He was on the other side looking for him to come. We're on this side, realizing that he's already came the first time, but we're looking for him to come again. Interesting, isn't it? 19:26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see God. After the worms have destroyed my body, what's it say? In my flesh, I shall see God. Interesting, isn't it? The resurrection. You're going to have flesh. Again, the Messiah, when he appeared to the people, what did he say? I'm not a vision. I have flesh and bone. I have flesh and bone. That was after the resurrection. Interesting. He didn't say he had blood because he poured that all out. But he had flesh and bone. Interesting thought, isn't it? So again, we can kind of get a glimpse of what it's going to be like in the resurrection. Job even understood this. Though the worms destroy it, that means he's going to put flesh back upon, just like Ezekiel 37. Flesh and bones. Can these bones live again? Only you know. Only you know. Good question. Good answer. He knows. And that's what we're looking at here, what he's telling us. 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel 37:1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley where I saw was full of bones. Full of bones. Just bones. Job said, "You're going to eat, these worms are going to eat my flesh." Just bones left. Interesting. But in my flesh, I'm going to be resurrected. Cool. Oh, it's not just your flesh. You get a little extra touch. We'll get into some of that a little bit later. God does something very special to that flesh. They were very dry. I should have mentioned that. Matthew 22:32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Of the living. That's the God he is. Verse John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Very comforting words. All of us in the grave will hear his words. We won't have a choice. We can't stop our ears. We're going to hear it. Interesting. John 5:29. It shall come forth that they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Wow, that one we don't want. And that's what I was praying about with an individual. We don't want that. Oh, they may have to wait till the next resurrection, but we don't want them in the damnation part. I want to give them a chance to understand, to really seek and really know the Creator, have that personal one-on-one relationship with Him. Not just a brain thing, but a heart and brain thing. Acts 26:8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Why? Remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection? Why is it incredible? This is a God that has all power. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in corruption. There we go, getting into the other part of the story. Incorruption. That means there's no more running down of the battery of the flesh. No more of this pain and agony that we go through in this life. But the opportunity is afforded us to have eternal life. Incorruption. 1 Thessalonians 15:43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown, verse 44 of 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Two different bodies. Yes, the one's got flesh and bone. The other one's got flesh and blood, bone and blood. But we're talking about glory here. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He'll bring with him. What a comforting thought. Sometimes I don't think we fully comprehend what that really means. I mean, let me put it this way. If we are trying to go someplace, well, even to the feast, for example, and we don't have a car, we don't have a means to get there, we don't have the finances, but somebody comes along and gives us a ride. We're with them in their vehicle. We didn't have the means, but he does. He's got the means. Somebody said he's got this. I heard that somewhere. Interesting. He's got the means. We don't have to worry about that. That vehicle or whatever, it's a fiery chariot or whatever it is, or just a white horse, or even in a chariot of fire, like Elijah, doesn't matter. We come in with him. He's got the means, right? For this we say unto you, 1 Thessalians 4:15, unto you, by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or be ahead of them which are asleep. Interesting. I'm reminded, I know there's a lot of controversy about the two witnesses and so forth, but I'm reminded that, you know, their dead bodies lay in the streets and suddenly they're raised up. That means if I'm still around at that time, I don't think I will be, but if I am, they rise first. Interesting. That's what it said. Right? We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not be, you know, ahead of them. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Wow. You know, we had a memorial service here for Eva. You know, she's going to rise. If we're alive at that time, she's going to rise before us. She'll be greeting us. Think about that. That's quite a blessing, isn't it? Greeting us. In Revelation 20, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his what? Works. Interesting. Interesting. According to their works. So when the world of Christianity tells you you don't need works, all you need is the Savior, all you got to do is believe, you're judged according to your works. Not his, yours. Job 14:5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his bonds that he cannot pass. He's talking about man. We are on a journey, and that journey is, what can I say, governed by our Creator. Psalms 27:14. Wait upon the Lord, and his good and good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's going to strengthen your heart. So what did I just read? I just read that we have to wait. In other words, shut up and listen. Don't have our opinions in the way. Give it to God. Job 7:1. It is not there appointed unto a time of man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? Or just here temporary? That's our job. Psalms 27, wait. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes that's not so easy to do, especially if you're not getting the answer that you want. Right? Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Remember I went through Daniel? Oops, there goes that mouse again. He went through, you know, Daniel, and Satan tried to hinder him, getting to him, but he hurt him the very first day. Very first day. Interesting. It wasn't that, I don't know how to say it, was deliberately waiting. Is that he had some problems he had to work out. You know, and we start working out our problems and not allowing our Creator to work them out, we're in trouble. Thank you. My precious woman. I thank you so much for the blessing that God has given us. I thank him for that, because we can literally wait. Did you know that waiting is a virtue?
Patience.
Patience. Patience. Very interesting, isn't it? Okay, I bumped something here again. Okay. Psalms 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of the horrid pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings. That's pretty comforting. Out of the miry clay. I don't know. Being a farmer kid at heart, I guess. Have you ever been in miry clay, and it pulls your boots off? And you can't get out of it, and you pull on the boot, and you try, and you get out of it, and you can't get out of it, and you pull on it, and you can't get out of it, and you just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And pretty soon you decide, forget the boot. Interesting. But that's what he's for, to pull us out of that clay, that miry clay, and set our feet upon a rock. Who's the rock? Christ, absolutely. Lamentations 3:25, and the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Oh, there's a clue here. What's the clue? When you're waiting, you need to be seeking. When you're waiting, you need to be seeking. Interesting, isn't that? You know, sometimes I think we as individuals think that we can just kind of slide around in our past works. All right? That's not true. We have to continually be fighting the fight. We have to continually grow. Grow in grace and knowledge. Grace means you probably messed up. Knowledge means you don't know it all. Frank, you got something left to learn yet. Wake up. See something else. This time when you open the scriptures, there will be something else there for you. I'm reminded that I was at a church dance, and I've been memorizing the scripture. And the scripture was, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life which I now live in the faith, I live in the, you know, the faith of our Messiah. And it's interesting. I'm crucified with him. And suddenly it hit me. I'm out there dancing on the dance floor, and I went over to the minister and I got down on one knee and I said, I am crucified with him. I am crucified with him. He's not up there alone.
I am crucified. The old self. That's what I need to do. I need to get rid of the old self and destroy it. And crucify the old man. Don't let him raise his ugly head, which he loves to do. The carnal thinking, the carnal mind. I want it my way and now. No, can't do that. You've got to take control of your own salvational walk with the power of God. It's the only way you can do it with his power. But you still have to do it. You have to pick up that tool in the toolbox. I was teaching, and a lot of the tools had been laying around a while, and they were kind of rusty. And as you look at that principle, they're rusty. New students are coming along trying to use them, but they didn't know how to use them, and they were rusty. Is our spiritual toolbox rusty? I know we got some prayer warriors in here, but do we have some meditators? Interesting. Do we have some of those people that are thinking about God's truth and coming up with some deep understanding, way deeper than just service or surface? I'll just open the Bible for a minute. I don't care where. This happens to turn to Isaiah. Beautiful. Isaiah 15. Well, Isaiah 14, actually. 27. For the Lord of hosts has purpose, and who shall disannul it? In his hand is strength, or stretched out, and who shall turn it back? See how it fit? It has nothing to do with me. Has to do with the Word of God. What He wants us to understand. His hand is not shortened and He cannot save. We get in the way. Just like I was talking about with that individual. Getting in the way. Causing all kinds of problems for themselves. You know, there's a time and an opportunity to point out flaws. But if you're pointing out flaws in God's Word, be careful. Be careful. Okay. Lamentations 3:25. And the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him and the soul that seeketh Him. I guess I said that already. Lamentations 3:26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, through my life, my called life, I messed up many times. But sometimes I realize that those mess ups is what make me today. Because you see, you build a fortress around that problem that you have. And then you begin to grow and develop and change and get those weaknesses. You know, it's been said that sometimes a man's strong points become his weakest. Why is that? Because you don't put a wall around it. You think it's okay. Everything's fine in that area of my life. But it's not. If you're not watching diligently, and then you get the big head, so to speak, and not be humble, not a good place to be. Be patient, James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has a long patience for it until he receives it. Early in the latter rain. I give you a little insight into that because I'm an individual that I just love the harvest time. It's not so much of the monetary return. It's the fact that that one little seed is producing a whole wagon full. How did it do that? How did it do that? Well, it did that because that seed rotted and nourished the plant. That's what happened. And it nourished the plant, and then the plant brought forth fruit. But the other seed had to die. That's what I was saying about the fact that I'm crucified with the Messiah, and so are you. We have to. We've got to work on old number one. I can't really preach it, but it's interesting to me because there's three, a lot of times, pictured in the crucifixion. But I do know this. Satan lost all his power. So Satan was crucified. I was crucified. And the Messiah was crucified. All three. And we won the battle. It's a picture of all three things being accomplished right there. Okay, the rain. James 5:8. Be ye also patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. You know, at the time of the Messiah, they lived in the end time. I think we're a little closer. It ain't like he's delayed his coming, like some go off and do their own thing and, you know, pick on their brethren, so to speak, and beg, borrow, and steal. No. It's closer. We need to be more diligent. More diligent. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will remain my own ways before him. Maintain my own ways. Interesting. Somebody said God's got it. And he does. He does. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I will show you a mystery. Shall not all sleep, but you all shall be changed. Did you notice a little word in there? All. All will be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible. We shall be what? Changed. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Who's going to do that? This is me now, but I have kind of a little joke that I talk about. I think that God has put a switch within every individual. He can either turn it off or turn it off or turn it on. And when he wants us to be glorified, he just got to flick that switch. That's all there is to it. Or if he wants us to understand the truth, he just flicks that switch. And then we got the power of the Spirit to understand it. Or if he wants to remove it from us because we're rebellious and don't want to have him in our life, he'll switch the switch again. And we won't understand. I've seen that so often. My heart cries out to so many people that I've known in the past that just lost it. Had the truth. They seemed to have the truth. But didn't hang on to it. They were like they're on the stony ground. Satan came along and there was no root. And that's why I'm very thankful for my spiritual journey that God has taken me on. Everybody's got their own story, but I've had to prove and reprove and prove and reprove and prove and reprove what the Word of God actually says. What's it saying to me? This is the way, walk you in it. Well, what is the way? I am the way, the truth, and the light. I'm the doorway. If he's a doorway, how am I going to get there? I got to go through the door. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. I want us to understand something even more so than what I've been talking about. Sometimes I think we look at it from the eyes of a 3-year-old. Sometimes we think we look at the resurrection through the eyes of an old man or an old woman, because we're at the end of our life and we consider even more that it's about over with, this life. But a 3-year-old don't normally do that. Although I was pretty blessed in my 3-year-old walk. When we start looking at the principle of what God is talking about, it changes how we feel. Our age changes how we feel. What we meditate on, what is important to us. What's important to you and I? Obviously, keeping a feast is important. That's why we're here. We look at that. Why? Let me ask this question. Why is a feast important to you right here in 2023? Why is it? You've probably kept a lot of feasts. Probably plan on keeping a lot more. But why is this one important? What's different about this one? Because God has got you here now. And he wants to teach you and nurture you through his word and through his love and compassion. And that we can learn from one another. And then we can carry one another's burdens. I want to say this. I've been very, very blessed with you people here today because of all the compassion and heart that I could feel for my situation. That's a blessing. You just don't have that genuine, sincere in the world. Well, you may find one or two people like that, but not very many. Here, everybody has been really compassionate. See, God's working. He's working. He's stirring your heart. Does it matter to you that brethren are in trouble over in Israel? Does it matter to you that this over 100 people got killed? It does to me. Not as much as it would have been my wife. But it still matters. It could have been. Some of those are men's wives, men's children. Interesting. And daughters, yes. And Satan is celebrating. Interesting. Where's our compassion? Those that cry and sigh for the things that are done in this world, the mourn. Those are the ones that God wants. Interesting. Maybe I ought to go there. Wasn't planning on it, but it's Matthew. The Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You're not going to heaven. You're going to inherit the earth. That's interesting, isn't it? And there's a big doctrine about going to heaven in our culture. Verse Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Again, what we are looking at is what? We have a responsibility. We have a heart that we have to do something with. We have to come and, come and be more like our Messiah. Remember what he said? It grieved him in his heart. Why? Before the flood? Because every thought was evil continually. Speaking about getting in trouble with sermons, I got in trouble with this sermon that I gave. My title was, God's a Needy God. And of course, people don't like that. But he gives so much, it's got to come back. It's got to come back. That's a law. It's a law that he put in place. He wanted the disciples to pray, and they went to sleep. It didn't come back, but he wanted it to. He has needs. In your prayers, I don't want to get too pointed, but do you ever ask God how his day was? Think about it. We just had a bunch of people killed. How was his day? Those are his children. Very interesting. I don't think that's a very good day. And then again, we have this idea that, I don't know how I say it, God is beyond being hurt. It's not true. He has an opportunity, just like you or I. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Interesting. But yet, without sin. Wow. Pretty powerful statement. So, when you look at the Beatitudes here, the sermon that I gave on that years ago showed it that it was a stairway. Basically a stairway to eternal life. You can't throw away the bottom tread. You gotta build on top of that. Keep going. And so when you do that, you're actually walking the walk that our Messiah wants you to walk. He gave you the keys there to his kingdom. Be patient. James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And hath long with patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. What does early and latter rain have to do with anything? It's interesting. You know, the scripture talks about, I'll give you rain in due season. And let me tell you, we are in a time that we don't always get rain in due season. We just don't. It's very interesting. We come to the point, you know, the former and latter rain, but here he's talking about resurrection. There's a former rain and a latter rain. There's a first resurrection, and then there's a second resurrection. There's the first plan of God, the first fruits, and then those that is coming, those that is coming. We have this opportunity that we must grow. I guess I got time. Let's go to the book of Revelation for a moment. Well, no, maybe let's go to Hebrews.
What?
Hebrews. Okay. God can change our minds, can he? Chapter 1, verse 1. God at sundry times in the diverse manner spake in the past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. By his Son. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he has made the worlds. Wow. That's a pretty powerful message. Can we let that soak in? Who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding me all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I was asked the question one time, what does that mean? A more excellent name than the angels. I thought angels, that's what they were saying. I thought angels were eternal. But it's really quite simple. The Messiah was born of the flesh and overcame the flesh. They didn't have to do that. They just had to agree with the Messiah. Some didn't. A lot of angels left and fell by the wayside. Very interesting. Well, I think I covered about all I wanted to cover today, but hopefully you got the message. What was the message? I'll ask you point blank. What was the message? If what? A man die, will he live again? That's the message. The answer is dogmatically yes, by the word of God.